Hey everyone, welcome back to the Origin Podcast. I'm Jamie.
And I'm Alex. So Jamie, we've got something really interesting today. It's about heart recovery after injury, and honestly, it's not what I expected at all.
Right? This study is fascinating because it completely shifts where we're looking when it comes to heart attacks. Most research focuses on the damaged area itself, the infarcted zone, right?
Exactly. But these researchers, they looked at the remote zones, the areas away from the injury, and they found something called lysozyme 2, or lyse 2, was going crazy in these remote areas.
Okay, so lysozyme 2, that's traditionally been thought of as like a marker for immune cells, right? Something involved in fighting bacteria?
Yes, that's the wild part. Everyone thought it was just a myeloid marker, you know, for immune function. But this study shows it's actually acting as a regulator of lysosomal degradation, specifically in endocardial cells.
Endocardial cells. Those are the cells lining the inside of the heart chambers, right? So what's happening there?
So when there's a heart injury, like a myocardial infarction, LIS2 gets expressed at really high levels in these remote endocardial cells. And what it does is, it ramps up the lysosomal degradation capacity.
Which means it's breaking down stuff it shouldn't be breaking down.
Exactly. It's breaking down the extracellular matrix, specifically something called heparin sulfate proteoglycan, or HSPG. And that breakdown, that's actually harmful to the heart's recovery.
So the heart is essentially hurting itself in the remote zones while trying to respond to injury elsewhere. That's kind of counterintuitive.
Right. And here's where it gets really cool. The researchers compared regenerative hearts like newborn mice on day one with non-regenerative hearts like week-old mice. In the regenerative hearts, LIS2 expression was temporary, but in non-regenerative hearts, it stayed elevated.
Oh, wow. So that sustained expression is like a marker of whether the heart can recover or not?
Basically, yeah. And then they did something brilliant. They knocked out LIS2 in mice, and those mice showed rapid functional recovery after a heart attack, like significantly better ejection fractions within a week.
Wait, so just by knocking out this one gene, they improved heart function that quickly? That's huge.
It is, and they didn't stop there. They also used pharmacological inhibitors, drugs that block lysosomal degradation, and got the same cardioprotective effect. They used CA074Me, and apilimod.
Okay, so this isn't just a genetic trick. There's a potential drug therapy here that's actually translatable to humans potentially.
Exactly. And actually, one of those drugs, apilimod, is already in clinical trials for COVID-19. So it has an established safety profile, which could speed up its use in cardiology.
That's fantastic. So let me make sure I understand this. The mechanism is that LIS2 increases lysosomal activity, which breaks down HSPG in the extracellular matrix, and that breakdown makes it harder for cardiomyocytes to survive.
Yes, and when they blocked that degradation, either by knocking out LIS2 or using the inhibitors, they saw less apoptosis, less cell death, in the cardiomyocytes adjacent to the endocardial cells. So the endocardium was protecting the heart muscle.
And they showed this in both mouse models and human cell models, right? Like, they used human-induced pluripotent stem cells to create endocardial-like cells.
Yeah, they did a co-culture experiment where they mimicked the spatial organization of the endomyocardium, so human endocardial-like cells next to human cardiomyocytes. And when they knocked down LYZ, the human version of LIS2, they saw the same protective effect.
So this is really solid across different models. What about the long-term outcomes? Did they look at scar formation or heart failure progression?
They did. At 28 days post-heart attack, the LIS2 knockout mice had significantly reduced scar formation compared to wild-type mice. And their ejection fraction stayed better throughout the entire observation period.
That's really impressive. So this isn't just about immediate protection. It's about sustained functional recovery and preventing the progression to heart failure.
Exactly. And I think what's really important here is that this challenges the typical focus on cardiomyocyte proliferation and the infarcted zone. This study shows that targeting non-cardiomyocyte cells in remote zones can have a huge impact.
Right, because most regenerative medicine strategies have been about trying to get heart muscle cells to divide again, or replacing the damaged tissue directly. This is a completely different approach.
Yeah, and they also found that this mechanism involves the breakdown of the extracellular matrix through lysosomal degradation, which is different from extracellular protease-mediated cleavage. So there are multiple pathways to ECM breakdown, and this targets a specific one.
So if we're thinking about clinical applications, what's the current gap in treatment that this could fill?
Well, after a myocardial infarction, there's a critical window where immediate functional protection is needed. Current treatments don't really address that immediate post-MI period effectively. This could provide rapid cardioprotection right after the injury.
And the fact that they can achieve this with drugs that are already being tested in humans, that's a huge advantage for moving this forward quickly.
Absolutely. I mean, apalimod is in phase 2 trials right now, so there's already safety data, which could really streamline its application to cardiology.
So, to wrap this up, the key takeaway is that targeting lysozyme 2 in the endocardium, specifically in remote zones away from the injury, can promote rapid recovery in non-regenerative hearts. And this opens up a whole new therapeutic avenue.
Yeah, and it redefines our understanding of LYZ2 itself. From just being a myeloid marker to being an injury-responsive regulator of lysosomal function, that's a pretty fundamental shift in how we think about this protein.
Really cool stuff. All right, that's it for today's episode of the Origine Podcast. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Thanks for tuning in. See you next time.